Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you just need that moment of just praise and worship to tell God, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Because so many times we keep looking backwards instead of looking forward. We keep thinking about what happened yesterday and the day before and the day before instead of thanking God that he gave us a new day. So, you know, I just wanted to say thank you, Lord, for another day. You know, what God put on my heart is that, you know, we need a baptism of the Holy Spirit in our world. We need a revival of the two greatest commandments, to love God and our neighbors ourselves. It's just something to think about today. You know, how do we treat each other? Do we treat each other with love, or do we treat each other with indifference? I believe that God is watching, because Jesus is coming back, and I believe it's going to be sooner than later. The question is, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you had that Pentecost moment in your life where all you wanted to do was just shout, hallelujah, been there, done that, and felt the best I've ever felt, just with a shout and a praise and a thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. And as I say every day, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you. I thank God for waking me up early this morning, you know, clothed in my right mind, ready to give him honor, to give him glory, and to give him praise. I got so excited about tomorrow's lesson that I had put it down for today. But God said, oh, you're a little ahead of yourself. So I'm like, yes, Lord, but I'm just so excited. The book of Acts is where we'll be today. Mother Valerie will be reading the book of Acts. But before we get started, I just want to pray and say, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I just have to share this on my Twitter feed. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14. But I love this word. It's a picture, and it says, I don't know why people skip posts about God, but if you are not one of them, I challenge you to say, Jesus Christ is alive. And I said this morning, I challenge you to say, Jesus Christ is alive, because Jesus Christ is alive in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, in my heart. I'm grateful to say I am a child of God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, is Jesus Christ alive? Can you say it with me? Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is.
Amen.
I'm filled up, Mama. I'm all filled up.
Amen.
Just wanted to say today again, family, thank you for joining Mother Valerie and I as we get ready to move forward in the Word of God. Father God in heaven, we come to you filled up, God, thankful for another day, thankful that you woke us up this morning to this beautiful sunlight, woke us up this morning to another day filled with your grace, filled with your love. And Lord God, I fill it with praise to you, for you are the Most High. You have given us the greatest gift we could ever have, and that is the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive in my heart, in my mind, and in my spirit. As we move forward this morning, God, we ask you, as always, to please increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our humble hearts, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But Lord, you are our strength, and you are our redeemer. You are our absolute, and you are our everything. And we are thankful, grateful, and blessed to do this work that you have called us to do, called ministry, to study the word of God, to show ourselves approved. Father God, we thank you for this basic instruction before leaving us, this holy Bible that is inspiring, that is everything we could ever want or need, and we can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we say thank you and amen. Giving honor to God this morning, I will be coming out of 2 Kings chapter 17 through chapter 18, verse 37. And again, our title this morning will be coming out of the book of Acts. And our title for today is You Shall Be Baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit just came in and took over me this morning. So I am grateful. Hallelujah. You know, I was baptized with water as a little baby. I found out I was probably 2 years old, because I had a dream about being in the river, actually, in a white robe. And I remember my mom being there. You know, of course, she was young, really a teenager. And I remember, you know, my grandmother, I don't know why I remember my grandmother and my uncle, who was a bishop. And I remember being taken into water because I was afraid of water for a little while. And then I, of course, loved water. But I don't think I was afraid at that point. I think I got afraid after a long time later when I got to be a teenager and got thrown in water and panicked. But the fact of the matter is I remember this little white robe that I was in being dipped into the river. And remember my grandmother picking me up and giving me this big old hug. I dreamed it. And I called my mom and asked her about it. And she said, yeah, that did actually happen, and that it was not just a dream, that it was a reality that happened in my life, being baptized about, I think I was about 2 years old. And then I joined my church with my godmother when I was 9, and I was baptized there in that ministry with the sprinkling. I didn't get baptized again until I went into the water. When I went into the water, September 12, 2012, is when I was officially baptized with the submersion again, 50 years after my first time.
Yeah.
I baptized. tell me what God can't do. You know, he loves us like that. And he wants us to accept him with our whole self. Not a half self, not a don't understand self, but our whole self. We must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the only way, I believe, that we can talk with God. If you never felt the Holy Spirit, because that's our communication. That's what Jesus left us, a part of him. All we have to do is ignite it. Hallelujah. We need that fire. C.C. Wine is there. Fire, fire, fall on us. We need that. Send a great revival. Fire, fall on us. As it did way back in Pentecost, when we were in one accord. And that's the main thing. Mother, we got to get back in one accord. And as we get into our word this morning, 2 Kings chapter 17, it says, and in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hosea the son of Elah became king of Israel in Samaria. And he reigned 9 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It seems like, Mother, every time we open up the book of the Kings, the Chronicles, verses, second Samuel, it's like these kings just did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you want to say, Lord, can we get an honest, nice, godly king? It's like they just lost their holy mind. You know, come on now. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hosea became his vessel and paid him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hosea. But he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria and bound him in prison. Now, the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Hala and by the harbor of the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Slavers got enslaved. And it goes on to say, for it, so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord, their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtowers to fortified cities. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images, every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah for all of his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they were not here, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he had testified, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them. They should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves made a wooden image and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And when we talk about the lost tribes of Israel, this is why they were lost, because they got lost in spirit. They got lost in their faith. They got lost in doing what was right in the sight of God. They lost of not doing what thus says the Lord God. They started to sin like their father. What does it say? Practiced witchcraft, soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil. Lost. He removed. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone, because the Israel had been sent out by Assyria. And it says, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them from his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. As he had said, not all his servants departed, so Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Don't get it twisted. God's word is true. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cathia, Ava, Hamath, and Ravine, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. Did y'all catch that? Counterfeit. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in the city. And it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them, because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. And the king of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. And one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Did y'all catch this? The children of Israel are sent away, seeing counterfeit. Then they send a priest of the Lord to teach the counterfeits how to be the children of Israel. Everything that we need to know is in the Word of God. All you have to do is study.
My Lord.
Now it starts to make sense. How you're like, well, how do they know the rituals? How do they know all this? Because they were taught. And it goes on to say, however, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places, which the Samaritans had made every nation in the cities where they dwelt. The men of Babylon made Sashkoth and Benot. The men of Cut made Nargal. The men of Hamath made Ashnot. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tarshish. And the Shephardites burned their children to fire to the Edomites and Anamites, the gods of Shephardim. So they fear the Lord from every class they appointed for themselves, priests of the high places, who sacrifice for them in the shrine of the high places. They fear the Lord, yet serve their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. Just counterfeit all the way around, serving other gods but loving the Lord. So they knew it was one God, but they still served the other gods to sacrificing their children. And it goes on to say, to this day they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinance or the law and commandments which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched hand, stretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinance and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods, and the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget. Nor shall you fear other gods. He says that more than once. You shall not fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did even to this day. You wonder why we do statutes and all kind of stuff that folks think is heritage. It's not heritage. Some of this mess is God worship, little G's. And those statues that you're bringing into your home are little G's. And you wonder why you're going through, because you've allowed something to come into your house that's not a God, because you think you're doing your heritage. We got to be careful, because the enemy is sneaky. He's a low-down, dirty, sneaky snake who will slip what you least expect with stuff that is not a God, and you don't know the difference because we're not informed. We got to be very careful. And it tells us in the life lesson for 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 33, they fear the Lord yet serve their own God. To fear the Lord and serve other gods is to not really fear the Lord at all. The real root of this kind of disobedience is unbelief. We disobey God when we do not believe either what he promises or what he instructs. God demands and deserves our exclusive allegiance. He will not share our love with other gods. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Matthew 4 and 10. We got some work to do, Mother. We got some work to do. And it tells us why we're wondering why the world is acting crazy. Because we have forgotten who is the creator of it. We've forgotten who God is. We worship everything but God. You got folks that, let me stop. God, keep my mouth shut. But we got to really watch ourselves as men and women of God. And it says this, now it came to pass, chapter 18 of 2 Kings. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight.
Amen.
To all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nahashtan. He trusted in and understand. That is the symbol of medical right now. When you go to the hospital, you see that staff with the snake around it, religious symbol that people don't even understand. And it says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. But he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory, from watchtowers to fortified cities. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Halah and by the harbor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant in all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria sent Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And you know how much Solomon put into that temple. You know, everything that was there was the best it could be. And now you're just giving it away, fear, when all you had to do was pray. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabshakeh, and the Rabshakeh from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fullest field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Shechaniah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and powerful war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into the hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horses? Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servant in Aramaic, but we understand it and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said to them, as my master sent me to your master to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall who would even drink their own waste with you. This is bold, isn't it? But we already know what happened. Come on, let's keep it going. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. But thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations of all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shapharim and Nina and Iva? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. But the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shibna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. And as we go back to the life lesson from this word, it says, the Lord said to me, go up against the land and destroy it. The seers had no command from the Lord to destroy Jerusalem, but they used religious language to dishearten God's people. In fact, they did not regard God at all, but exalted themselves above him, thought him no different from pagan gods. Yet those who set themselves against the Lord invite destruction. And that is the word that we can take to the bank. Don't let anybody deceive themselves to think that they are above God, because there is nothing and no one higher than the Most High. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. But
Amen.
First, let's go ahead and get that. What we're going to learn in the book of Acts, and then I will not be interrupting you as you go forth. When we go to the book of Acts, in our little book of Know Your Bible, it says, the author not stated but traditionally attributed to Luke, a Gentile physician, Colossians 4:14, a missionary companion of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:11, and the author of the Gospel of Luke. The dates that this book covers is the events of AD 30 through 60. Acts was probably written sometimes between 62 and 80 years after the death of Christ. In 10 words or less, the Holy Spirit arrival heralds the beginning of the Christian church. The details please. Officially called Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts is a bridge between the story of Jesus in the gospel and the life of the church in the letters that follow. Luke begins with Jesus' ascension into heaven after 40 days of post-resurrection activity, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 10 days later, God sends the Holy Spirit on the festival day of the Pentecost, and the church is born. Through the Spirit, the disciples are empowered to preach boldly about Jesus, and 3,000 people became Christians that day. Jewish leaders, fearing the new movement called This Way, but it was called This Way or The Way, began persecuting believers. He scattered to other areas and spread the gospel through much of the known world. The ultimate persecutor, Saul, becomes a Christian himself after meeting the brightly shining heavenly Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saul, later called Paul, ultimately joined Peter and other Christian leaders in preaching, working miracles, and strengthening the fledgling church. Some quotables from the book of Acts. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, family, when the Savior comes back, he's not coming to the east. He's not coming to the west. He's not coming to the north. He's not coming to the south. We got to look up because he's coming from heaven. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other, no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 1:12. Woo. Saul, Saul, why thou me? Chapter 9, verse 4. Unique and unusual. Acts of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, stoned to death for blaming Jewish leaders for the death of Jesus. Chapter 7. Acts also depicts the gospel's transition from a purely Jewish message to one for all people and the beginning of the Christian missionary movement. In chapter 13, so what Christians today are driven by the same force that Acts describes, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. We pray today for the Holy Ghost to come upon each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, people of God. I like the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the son of Ahaz, king of Judah. He began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah who were before him. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him. Hezekiah, there was no other king like him, no other king before him and like him, because he held fast to the word of God. And as you continue to read about Hezekiah, he told the people, don't listen to anything that these other kings are saying. Just hold fast to our Lord God. And he did that. I said, boy, I really like the story of Hezekiah. I'm reading Psalm 74:1-8. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed. This Mount Zion, where you have dwelt, lift up your feet to the first desolation. Life lesson, Psalm 74:1. Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? The psalmist knew of no unresolved sin in his life, and yet his circumstance continued to look bleak. We may not know why God seems to be silent in regards to our prayers, but even in such dark times, he calls us to trust him. We're supposed to trust in the Lord like Hezekiah did. When things came up against him, he went into the house of the Lord and talked to God about it. He went to the throne, not to the phone. I love what they were saying, and I love Hezekiah because he did what was right. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes against the thick trees. Now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. It set fire to your sanctuary. They have devoured the dwelling place of your name to the ground, said in their hearts, let us destroy them all together, bearing up all the meeting places of God in the land. My Lord. Proverbs 18:22-24. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So when my husband found me, when he found me, he found a good thing. And when Pastor's husband found her, he found a good thing. God calls us good things. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Poor man yields entreaty, but the rich answer roughly. The man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and I think we all know who that friend is. Man who has friends must himself be friendly. I mean, in order to attract people and have friends, you got to be friendly yourself. But really, this is my opinion. You only have maybe one or two friends, and you got to watch who you call friends. Because I remember that girl that Pastor was talking about, she called these people her friends, and they took away her life. They beat up on her. They killed her and told her to fight back. So you only have about maybe one or two people that you can say are your friends, but you have lots of acquaintance. You have to be careful with that word friend. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we know that that's Jesus. Acts 1:26. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, in today which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He's talking about after Jesus died, and he came back. So the song said, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, because he had risen. I mean, in that length of time, they went from deep sorrow to being, I mean, can you imagine seeing your mother die, and you know that she's dead? And if your mother die or your husband die, one of your children die, I mean, you are sorrowful. You are really, really sorrowful. But in 3 days, they come back from the dead. I mean, the disciples were rejoicing. I mean, they were so happy. Jesus, he is alive. Don't cry. When she went to the tomb, he's not there. Don't cry. He's alive. Or to be part of that. I mean, we are part of that because he's still alive. He's alive in our heart. And it said that if you don't doubt and just believe, don't be like Thomas, just believe in the Lord. Because God prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us. He said, I'm not praying for my apostles only, my disciples. I'm not just praying for these disciples, but I'm praying for the people that haven't seen me and yet believe. So he prayed for us too, because we are believers. We believe by faith. We know that he's alive. We know that we're going to be raptured. We know that we're going to be called up. We also know that there will come a day when these bodies, these sick bodies, these hurting bodies will be changed, and we'll have a glorified body where we will be called up to meet the Lord in midair. We'll be able to go through walls. There will be no pain to your body, be no tears and no hurt. The former things will have passed away. Behold, we're going to be made new. And then assembled together with them, he commands them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John too was baptized with water. But our title is, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked and said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They said to them, it is time for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The disciples, they went into hiding after Jesus was crucified. They were afraid that they were going to be killed, and they went into hiding. But on the 50th day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, I mean, they became bold. They came out of hiding because they had received power when the Holy Spirit had came upon them, and they became witnesses. And they, you know what? God gave them so much power that they laid hands on the sick. The sick recovered. The shadow of Peter healed people. They brought people back from the dead. They did the same thing that Jesus was doing or had done and is doing. And right now, we're supposed to be doing the same thing in this faith because the Spirit of God has not changed. And if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we're supposed to be witnesses and healing the sick and raising the dead. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. He said, but you shall receive power. That's power in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they watched, taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. I mean, they were just looking up. And that's the way the rapture and the catching away of the church will be. The same Jesus, he said, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And that's the rapture. We're going to be caught up. Those that are looking for him, you're going to find him. The dead in Christ will go first. And those that remain, we're going to be caught up. I mean, I'm looking for that day. That day, as Pastor said, is closer now than ever before. I mean, it really is. We have wars and the president invited the gay people to come to the White House. It's just so many different things. It says that he approved of gay people. He invited them to the White House. Maybe they had tea, I don't know. But there's so many things that are happening in the land that we have to pray for our leaders, pray for the elders, pray for everybody. Because people are killing people for little nothing. We have to pray for the abortion clinics. There's so much going on in America. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, I believe, this is my opinion, God really does America for the things that we're doing. And like Pastor was saying, that we're not supposed to look back. You don't look back. You go forward. And that's what she was singing the song, go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward. Don't look back. Like Lot's wife, if you look back, peering through what, pillar of salt. Don't look back, go forward. Go forward, go forward, go forward. That's a beautiful song if you listen to the words. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is New Jerusalem, a 7 days journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where there were stands. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Then they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether. The number of names were about 120 and said, Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before me by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us, attained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wedges of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Acham Bema, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accomplished us in all the time, Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph called Barabbas, Barabbas, who was subnamed Justice and Matters. They prayed and said, you, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. They cast a lot. Lot fell on Matters, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He was numbered. You know, Judas betrayed Jesus, and the Lord still knew, he still allowed Judas to be with them. That's amazing to me. He allowed Judas to be there, but Judas, and he knew that Judas was going to betray him with a kiss. Life lessons, Acts 1, 4, and 8. What allowed you to begin a relationship with God? It says, what allowed you begin a relationship with God? How did you, a person separated from God by sin, enter into a friendship with a holy God? Was it dedication on your part? Was it a result of your unceasing effort? Of course not. You enter it by faith in Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 6, 44, 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all by God. All of us are taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We're taught by God. As it is, everyone believes in him. We didn't earn our relationship with God through our efforts, and we can't lead others to God by our efforts either. Of course, we're not the first generation of Christians who wanted to take matters into our own hands. The early church had the same problem. It is part of fallen human nature to want to maintain control, to do things ourselves. That's why Jesus did not immediately send the disciples to preach the gospel. Rather, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which is said, you've heard from me. The promise of the Father was, of course, the Holy Spirit, who would lead them in spreading the gospel to the end of the earth. The spiritual life is a life of faith. It starts by faith, and it runs on faith. It is faith from start to finish. What is faith? Faith is believing that God will do as he promised. Faith is not a part of something we're supposed to draw up inside ourselves. Faith is trusting that God will empower us to do whatever he has called us to do, and he will. If we want to convince others to be saved from the guilt of sin to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we must trust God to empower the message he gave us to preach. So how can you partner with the Holy Spirit in your life? Listen to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and teach you as you witness to others. He's the one that will convince them, not you. Just listen to God. Listen to God. And I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor, and she's going to give Carolyn's, whatever sister Carolyn had to give. I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor. But trust in God. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost, and like Pastor was talking about when she was baptized, you do receive the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, as the Spirit of God gives us. God is good all the time.
Amen. Yes, Lord, thank you. And the word for my sister in Christ this morning is this. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is a gift from him. Have a thankful Thursday. And I just want to say today is my grandson's 6th birthday. And I just want to shout out to Jose, my baby, as he turns 6 this today. He turned 6 actually at 5 p.m. this afternoon. It was amazing. I told his mom he was born on the 6th day, on the 6th month, 15th day. At 5, the baby of grace, and he brings such joy to my life. So happy birthday to my baby, to my little grandson, Jose. But I had a prayer for today, and it says this, Bloom. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Lord, my God, you are the source of life. I am connected to you, Father, through Jesus. I know that whatever fruit my life produces is based on the health of my root system. With my roots planted by streams of living water, they grow deep in the knowledge of you. As I grow in grace and the goodness of your person, the fruit of my life reveals that you are working in and through me. Every good thing in my life is a result of your constant presence, feeding and pruning my character. Let the fruit of my life reveal the sweetness of your kingdom, fruit that nourishes the hungry and satisfies the curious. You are nothing if not good. As I grow in the light of your kindness, may my life come into full bloom for your glory. All the days of my life are yours, God. Have your way. We got to ask God to have his way, because you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word that the question is, do you see the fruit of God's kingdom at work in your life as you grow in him? We've got to ask God, take over, Father. Take over, Father. And watch me bloom with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be in your life. Choose God today. Choose love today. Choose to be the best you can be. And as Sister Carolyn, again, so eloquently put it, today is the day that God has made. Every day is a gift from him. Have a thankful Thursday and bloom in the Holy Spirit. Mother, that's all we got this morning. If there's no one that has a word, we are wrapping it up because I got to go to work. And today I'm going to spend some time with my grandson before church. So thank you all again for listening this morning. I pray you have a great and blessed day. For this is God's day, and we are his humble servants. We are his children. Let's give our daddy a hallelujah praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
And may
thank
the Lord
you. I am
watch
grateful.
Hey, may the Lord watch me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, Mother, and I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And we pray again. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Watch God work in your life. Don't mind the tempo. Get out your way as you do your dance. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. I'm dancing.
You know,
today,
this Sunday is Father's Day.
Father's Day.
And I get a chance to see Sila. She will be with Kathy. And she'll be there with Kathy from Carolyn from Thursday and Friday. And Chelsea and her husband will be here.
Oh, yeah, a baby.
So with the baby. The baby will be 2 in September. And I said, my goodness, that little baby, Sila, will be 2 in September. I mean, children just grow up. Like Pastor was speaking of her 6-year-old. And she was saying, happy birthday. Children just grow. They grow up.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, Mother. It's a wrap, family. Have a blessed day. God bless you all.
Bye-bye. It's a wrap,
Mom. It's a wrap.